Another episode of Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, a musical podcast about musicals by musical people. Oh my goodness, how many musicals can you fit in one sentence?
One more, do it!
Musicals. It's me, KB. I'm going to be your host today, and we are talking about one of the greatest shows ever. It's my favorite, but first, joining me at the table is
Julie Eisentrager
and
Miranda Selwood.
And our super special guest,
Helen Stevens.
Hi, Helen. Thanks for bringing this awesome show to the table.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Guys, we are talking about Heathers. It is my favorite.
I'm so excited.
We're so excited. It's very rare that we all agree on a musical, but it's happened today. And before we jump into it, though, we're going to get to know you a bit more, Helen.
Oh!
Yeah, Miranda, please, would you introduce this segment?
Getting to know you, getting to know all about Helen.
There's a name now.
Yeah. Getting more and more normal each time she does it at the moment.
And now it's just a moment for Miranda to show her talent. Yeah. Okay, are you ready?
Okay, definitely.
The first question is, what musical character would other people compare you to?
Well, when I asked my partner this morning the exact same question, he looked at me and he went, well, Annie, of course.
Oh.
And then I got really upset about that. And yeah, I asked a much better friend. And he suggested that it was more like Eliza Doolittle.
Oh, very nice. Oh, that's so nice.
Or so they think you're a bit common.
Totally true.
I would say vivacious and confident. Okay.
Yeah, vivacious and confident. All right.
She's a fixer-upper.
We're going to move on to the next question.
You asked really a better friend.
Before Julie insults all of your friends, we'll move on to the next question. Which musical character would you like other people to compare you to?
Well, I guess I was hoping for more like a Maria from Sound of
Music. Nice.
Perhaps.
We'll get there. People, you've heard it here. If Helen asks you this question again, Maria is the
I'm thinking like Maria from The Sound of Music.
Miranda nailed it.
Yeah. I look at you and I just think, that woman could never be a nun.
Helen, what's your dream role?
See, if you'd asked like 14-year-old me, yeah. I probably would have said Christine from Phantom.
Ooh.
But I know, but then I grew up and I realised that there are some serious flaws in that musical.
Quite a few.
And I felt really, really bad about ever wanting that
I feel
role.
Like we've all been there. I'm like, yeah, she's amazing. My voice is perfect. Oh, wait, she's a rubbish role.
I know.
Show.
But the thing is, my other favourite role of all time, and this is probably saying a little too much about me, is that I'd actually really love to be Millie from Seven Brides with Seven Brothers.
Not the Millie I was thinking of.
No. Like equally problematic.
Oh, wow.
It's fine. That's why it's a role. It's not about you.
I know. But give me a redhead in a backwoods any day.
What is your favourite Sondheim show?
Oh, it would have to be Sweeney Todd.
Amazing. Mm. Love it. Great one. What is your go-to shower song?
See, usually it's very dependent on how I'm feeling.
Fair, very fair.
So it tends to change from, I don't know, like Christmas jingles through to like, how is it? No, Hills Are Alive, I suppose, is a lot of that too. But yeah.
Whatever you're feeling in the moment.
Very emotional singer, let's just put it like that.
I hear you. All right. What we've all been waiting for, guys. Mm-hmm. I know it's what everyone listens for too. You have to delete one musical from existence. It cannot be Cats. We've burnt it, we've buried it, we've killed it many times and it still keeps bouncing back. It has so many lives.
Oh, no.
What musical would you delete?
But that's what I had chosen.
Look, I'm always happy for another vote for Cats.
No, we need another one.
We need a new one.
Need another one.
That I would delete.
There's plenty that we're probably done with.
I mean, oh, see, I also had any other like dinner theatre show put down, but I also feel a little bit mean in saying that. I had a bad experience, I'm sure, at school. But if I guess, maybe there is a Sondheim that I wasn't particularly keen on, mm-hmm. and it would be The Boyfriend, I think.
We're going to cut it. It's gone. Done. It's deleted. It no longer exists.
Oh, Miranda, it's okay.
Actually, it's a really cute show. I like
it. I know.
Well, sometimes you have to let go of your favourite things.
I wouldn't say it's one of my favourites.
Well, that's fine. We're deleting it. It's gone.
I like it.
While Miranda mourns The Boyfriend, we're going to play a little bit of music and then we're going to come back and talk about Heather's what. Amazing. Alrighty, guys.
Sorry, I thought you were about to launch into Oklahoma just then. Oklahoma.
No, I would never. That's the next show to be deleted from existence. Sorry, Oklahoma, but I do not like you.
she says, having seen it twice recently.
So many times. So problematic. Anyway, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about one of the greatest musicals ever written, and that is Heathers. Let's just launch straight into it. I love this show. I think it's so fun. It always, well, it's not always a great production, but it's always a fun production that you're like, excited for by the end of it, right?
Oh, completely.
Yeah. I've seen it so many times and I listen to it on the daily. So wow.
I worked out this is the musical I have seen the most on stage.
Really?
Wow. What?
Yeah.
How many times?
I've seen it now 5 times on stage.
Holy moly.
Wow. I think so, yeah.
Five is pretty good. That's impressive. Yeah. There are some pretty interesting facts and stuff out there about Heathers. But a lot of it also stems from the cult movie classic that has been transferred into the musical. What are some things that we've found out about Heathers, guys? Or should I start? Maybe I'll start.
I happen to have seen KB's notes before, and it starts with fun facts.
It's
and there's
so many
about
fun facts.
8 lines on it.
So. I love fun facts. Fun facts are the best. So before we like go into like history or anything.
Can I just share one fun fact?
Yes.
I saw this in New York City just like on the same trip that Zane and I went to the Tony Awards. I just wanted to put that out.
Yeah. I remember Zane coming back from that trip and being like, you should listen to this show. And I've never looked back since. So thank you, producer Zane, for introducing me to my favorite musical ever.
It's actually Zane's fault that we went to see it that day because it wasn't on the top of my list. Yeah. It wasn't anywhere on my list. I hadn't even heard of it. I'd never seen the movie it was based on. I was just like, whatever. and we were sort of toward the end of the trip, and I picked a show that we went to see, and Zane picked a show that we went to see. I can't even remember what I picked, but I do remember vividly being so happy that we had gone to see Heathers. Mm-hmm. And I think it was probably the best show that we saw in our whole trip.
Amazing.
Wow.
Easily. As far as, what did we see just before that?
A Gentleman's Guide
was very good. We went to see Avenue Q because we had both worked on it, and it was like tired and sad and unhappy.
Aww.
Yeah, very disappointing.
But then Heathers.
And then Heathers was like, I don't even know what this is. So my expectations were like nowhere. I wouldn't say they were low, but they just didn't know what I was in for.
Yeah.
And I freaking loved it.
It's so good.
Loved it. Can I tell you a little story about?
Yes.
I was really lucky. I went to London for 8 weeks last year, and just before I left, I realized that I'd never actually seen the movie, and so I watched it, from top to tail, jaw on the floor most of the time. Had no idea it was as incredible as it was, having always been a Breakfast Club fan.
Yeah.
and then when I got to London, and I was sort of on Today Ticks, and I was trying to find all these amazing cheap tickets that I could go, for for shows I could go and see, and how this came up, and I thought, oh, well, I love the movie. I have to absolutely go and see it. And then, you know, like two rows back from the front of the stage, and it just completely renewed my faith in musicals again.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever quite been blown away like I was.
It's so good. And it was such a good cast. Mm. It was such good. And it had just been revamped. So the West End production and the Broadway production are slightly different. There are some different songs. There are a few different lines and whatnot. For example, Blue, which is the one that Ram and Kurt sing.
This is such an interesting story.
It's, I know. It got cut from the West End production. It got You're Welcome got added into it. Because of – what was the reason? I remember.
It was slightly too rapey.
I think there was something about the humour. I'll figure it out. I'll come back to you. Zane's going to Google it for me and he's going to tell me what the reason is.
I did some reading today.
Oh, yeah.
And the writers actually have this beautiful section in the back of the book that you can buy where they talk about their version of the songs and all this sort of stuff and what they thought about it. And interestingly, they talk about it being quite polarizing because some people didn't quite get dark and subversive a song they were actually – like trying to go for.
Yeah.
And so by rewriting it the way they did, they actually managed to give Veronica a voice in the moment.
Yeah.
And
that's what I like about You're Welcome. Julie and I were talking about this last week when we went and saw it.
Whenever
you guys could be listening to this a year from now, I don't know. But I prefer You're Welcome over Blue because she does fight back and she does. You have that commentary going through her head the whole time of how does she get herself out of this particular situation, which is Kurt and Ram, the two jocks of the school, have decided that they want her for wherever, however they like, and she really doesn't have a say about it in that moment.
I do get somewhat sad that we miss a little bit of that like colour play that runs throughout Heathers when we take away the song Blue.
Yes, true. But Veronica gets a voice over colour play. So.
I mean, I like colours.
Much of a muchness, really, in there.
I think they both have their place.
They
Can we do the 20-second rundown of the plot?
Oh, yes. Helen, would you like to do the 20?
Or is it 2 minutes?
Let's go 1 minute.
Okay. 1 minute.
To be quick.
Can you fit it all in? I know that the movie is like 3 hours long and the musical's not that.
So it is based on a movie from 1989. Although the fact checker has just stepped away from the table.
I'm fact checking it. I'm on it.
It's true. It's 1989.
And the
1988 film of the same name.
Right. The musical sticks pretty closely to the movie plot, to the original plot. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's ready. Helen has brought the materials to be able to do this in 60 seconds. Are you ready?
Oh, man. All right.
Okay, we have a timer.
Oh, wow. We're actually timing it.
Yeah, I'm so on
timing. Very serious about this.
Because, you know, I don't want the episode to run long. That's my job. I do that. Here we go.
All right.
A five, six, seven, eight.
So unlike in the film, Heathers the Musical is actually about Veronica Sawyer, who is journeying through high school and decides that she wants to hook herself in to the,
the popular
top shelf popular group girls by offering her services as a forgery artist. The story then goes like rampantly through the ins and outs of, teenage high school life and all of the issues that come with that, including her meeting JD, who is a psychopath, and the two
Very
of them then
psychopath.
Work together to murder and kill off all of these problematic people in their social circle at high school.
Accidentally.
Yes, totally. Well, accidentally.
Accidentally on purpose.
Accidentally on purpose, yes.
Some of them are accidental.
Whoops.
For Veronica.
Yes. But at the heart of the show, I would say, is an incredibly subversive story about hope
And I guess the whoa, that's my 1 minute timer.
You did very well though.
Thank you.
You did very well. Finish your sentence. We'll let you finish your sentence.
Oh. I did interrupt, so
me too.
No. So I obviously am I allowed to give away the ending?
Yes.
Is that okay?
All right. They know what they're in for when they listen to this.
Veronica, of course, realizes that things have gone too far and decides to throw her whole self into trying to right the wrongs that that these murders, I guess, have created in their lives, and ends up saving all of the students from Westerberg High from their terrible, fiery fate.
You know, apart from the three that are already dead.
Yes. And the person still in the building when they're going to blow it up.
That takes it to four. So it was a film first with Winona Ryder and Christian Slater.
So good.
Nice. So good. Christian good Slater Christian in Slater. All his glory.
Whatever happened to Christian Slater?
He was on West End in a play last year.
Oh, was he?
Yes. He's doing some stuff.
He was, I thinking it was a rhetorical question.
I'm never going to let you have a rhetorical question, Miranda. I'm going to answer it every time.
No, that's cool. Now I know.
He got not hot.
No, he still is. He's just slightly grey and a little liney.
He's older. The name Veronica came from the Archie comic. So in the film, Veronica and Betty are friends, and they are Veronica and Betty from the Archie comics. That's where their names came from. Betty is not in the musical. She's kind of melded in with Martha. It's Martha's character is kind of the embodiment of literally every other character that isn't a Heather in the film. And then the last names came from Mark Twain's classic characters, Sawyer and Finn. So lots of things. But I think two of my favorite fun facts, guys, two, is one, it's Westerberg High because Winona Ryder really liked The Replacements. And the singer-songwriter from that band is Paul Westerberg. So it's a Westerberg High for that reason. And JD says, Colour Me Impressed, which is one of their songs. So it's just like a constant like thing. And Ik Lug Bullets, which JD says he's going to use on Curtin Ram to like just stun them and like, then they'll wake up and everyone will be laughing at them because they'll pretend that they'll write a fake suicide note and make them out to be a couple. Is German for I'm lying.
Oh.
So he basically tells Veronica straight up that he is not going to be playing very nice, that he is definitely going to kill the boys. Yeah. But she doesn't speak German, so.
And this is why everyone needs to learn German in school.
That's what I'm saying, guys.
Exactly.
I always wondered.
I know. An initial reading of this musical took place in 2010, and Kristen Bell read for Veronica.
Yeah.
That would have been so cute.
Wasn't that?
She had the cutest little Veronica that ever was.
But also like kind of sassy. Like,
yeah.
I feel like it would have been Veronica Mars.
Yeah.
Singing absolutely. Some songs.
But I don't hate that.
No, not at all. I love that. It then got taken from the initial reading into a concert version that had Annalee Ashford, Jeremy Jordan and James Snyder in the cast.
James Snyder.
I've forgotten what he was in. Stuff. He was in stuff.
If I had to.
And
tell
also
you.
Things. And if things. I remember correctly. Yes. Stuff and things.
James. That is what his wiki says.
Yeah.
James Snyder of things. Stuff and things.
He is currently in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child.
Oh, that's obviously where I know him from then.
I mean, he does look a lot like one of the twins, actually.
He does. He's been in Carousel at Good Speed, which our good friend Benedict Braxton Smith is currently working at.
Oh my gosh, he's also been in one of my favourite movies of all time, which is Dangerous Beauty.
Yeah. He's done a lot. So... Lots and lots.
Sorry, I didn't mean to send us on.
Anyway, that was that. What was that? So a few songs have been changed. Heather Duke now has her own song, which is generally cut out of the like community theatre school production. Gosh. Heather Duke no longer has a song, but
there is one there for her, which is really sad because she's the only one that doesn't sing anything otherwise. Poor Duke.
She still gets to sing the
she
candy song.
She speaks a lot more.
She does speak.
Got more dialogue.
A lot more. Mm. And I Say No was also added. So Veronica has another one to belt her little face off to because her role wasn't big enough.
No.
Sorry.
More belting required.
More belting required, please. Yeah. It's a great show, though. I like it. Anybody have anything to add? Because I've been talking a lot and very quickly.
I mean.
Well, I feel like Helen has a lot of notes. So.
Well, I mean, if I had to add anything, I suppose, my general kind of take on this adaptation, because at first I was really quite shocked at the way they sort of rewrote the role of Veronica for the musical. I thought it was a bit of a bold choice to, you know, decide that she wasn't, you know, initially friends with them, which is certainly how it's pitched in the film. Mm-hmm. But then, of course, I guess as you get into it, I realized, oh wow, no, this is actually just a very clever interpretation to, you know, like fast forward through all of that important stuff about getting to know everyone. But I think, I guess, there were so many things that just stood out for me. Like, I mean, firstly, beautiful Carrie Hope Fletcher, I felt like she made me feel like, you know, a woman like me was standing on that stage, you know, for the first time in a very long time.
So this is Carrie who played Veronica in London.
Yes. She was also in the Les Mis touring cast.
Wasn't everybody.
Yeah, literally everyone. She has a super cool YouTube channel though with some original songs on there. She's very good.
Yeah. And so, and the other thing that I guess really was astonishing is just how fresh, this is a musical that has a song that actually fits with the emotional, like, you know, turmoil and trajectory of each different character. And you actually get to go along with every step of, you know, of the way with them. There's no like whitewashing over, oh, and now we're going to jump through this bit and look, they're there already.
Yeah.
It's, you know, they really actually honor and turn all of these like very stereotypical characters into real people. Mm-hmm. And I love that about this. We really get to see like both sides of each character, and you know, and I think that is such a smart move on the writer's behalf.
It's amazing how they fit it all in.
Yes. And you know, usually I think in my very amazing Disney upbringing, I think that, I'm supposed to just think that the lovers are in love. But this time, you know, I understood JD and Veronica, and I felt like I got to go along with them for the journey. And even though I was still left wanting more, I didn't ever feel like I hadn't been given something that I needed in the show. And I guess that kind of brings me back to, you know, one of the things, you know, other main points that I walked away with, which was just that I hadn't seen a musical that was just so fresh and such a like hot topic for the current kind of climate that we live in, and yet it was set in 1989 still, which is just so exciting. I kind of felt like for me this musical actually opened up a dialogue with, you know, with like, you know, plays, songs and young people again, which I just thought was so timely.
I think what I really appreciate from Heather's is the fact that, like, yes, it's got a lot of music in it, but the songs really do have a different sound and feel, and even the slow songs, each slow song is different in its own way, where I feel like a lot of musicals written post 2000-ish, they have a theme running through them that just makes everything kind of sound the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I like a slow song is going to be, you know what to expect from the next one, hearing the first.
Yeah.
And the same said for their like faster numbers and fun stuff. But no, I like that Heather's kind of, each song has its thing about it, and it makes me super happy.
It manages to use a modern sensibility in the music without turning everything into a pop song.
Yeah, that's right.
But so in form and structure, it's actually a more traditional musical than a lot of the modern stuff we've seen.
Which is probably why I like
which
it.
Which probably makes it work a bit better for the storytelling, which as we know is kind of important. unless, of course, you're watching Cats. But I think that's what kept me engaged. Because, not having heard of it, when I went to see it, It was a little bit of like, oh, I'm just saying it's dragging me into some modern piece of crap.
Thank you.
But it wasn't in that, it connected with me even though I am not a teenage psychopath.
No. Yes. But you also
Wait,
see
what?
The
I know. Hard to believe.
I do like that you see the light and shade of each character, and I think we're used to seeing some pretty dark stuff from Lawrence O'Keefe in like Bat Boy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Legally
then,
Blonde.
And then it's like super bubbly so stuff and Legally Blonde.
This is the middle ground.
But this is the middle ground for him, and I think he's nailed it.
Nailed it.
Can we talk about how incredibly wonderful it is to see a female character like Veronica actually take her power in the show too? I think that's something else that this show managed to do. Like instead of JD climbing in through her window and then all of a sudden like having this sort of lovely romantic night, she's like, I'm a dead girl walking. How am I going to spend the last night on earth? I'm going to storm into this man's house and seduce him.
While a little tipsy.
Yeah.
How she got
just
in
great
the
life choices.
Just great. Yeah. But I think it's not it's obviously over dramatized, but it's not terribly out of the realm of what teenagers do put themselves through on a daily basis. Anything else, guys? Or should we move on to lessons learned?
I'd love to learn some lessons from Heathers.
Yeah.
Yes, it is an educational piece after all.
Let's do that. I'm assuming that the music's finished because I don't have headphones today.
Oh, sorry, guys.
That was my interpretive dance to tell you the music was finishing, KB.
I was ready to break into song.
I would like you all to break into song. The same song at the same time that you've not rehearsed.
Yeah.
So what have we learned from Heathers?
Don't judge a book by its three-coloured cover.
Again. I think that's because all of the books on the table have three colours.
I think another one would definitely be Croquet is Always Okay.
Croquet is Always Okay. I like it.
Julie's just contemplating.
I am.
A good colour scheme is something that's going to catch on in your marketing too, I think.
Gosh.
Because they definitely stick with this,
yes.
This concept of each of the Heathers having their thing.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming that comes from the
it's
film.
It's not from the film.
No?
They don't.
Well,
they don't
it's a little
really
bit. It's understated.
Little.
In the film it's
there. It's not
but
understated.
It's not this level of every McNamara is all yellow and it's not that.
Yeah.
But there are some.
I may or may not have attended the last version of Heathers somewhat dressed.
She very much did.
Like, as Heather Chandler from the movie.
Yeah, she nailed it. I will attest to that.
I didn't wear a red hair scrunchie.
Yeah, well.
Because it didn't fit over my bun.
Oh.
Wow. Wow.
I'm going to say that the dream guy isn't always the greatest choice. Veronica is very attracted to JD. Mm. She likes him a lot, but maybe not, you know?
She's attracted to the bad boy image, right?
Yeah.
I don't think she is entirely attracted to the bad boy image. I think she's maybe drawn into what he says more than what, because like you think of a traditional bad boy, they're not one to quote, who does he quote?
He's all into Moby Dick and Sylvia Plath.
He's very much into like classic literature.
Yeah,
which I don't really
Baudelaire. You're right.
Yeah,
it is.
Baudelaire. Yeah. I don't really think is it like a bad boy image,
But he has an like outsider image.
Yeah,
he's outsider.
An intelligent yeah. character.
Yeah. He is very intelligent.
I think that's what it is. They're both these like highly intelligent people. And I think that they, yeah, that sparks between them somewhat.
Absolutely. It's not so much, I'm just going to mention the really terrible television series that came out.
I've refused to watch
just
it.
Just very quickly.
Don't.
I know. Don't watch it. Don't watch it. Don't. It's awful. It's so bad. But they've made Veronica equally as psychopathic as JT. And so it's interesting in that sense that the two are drawn together for most of the time. Two people would not be drawn as a sociopath. they don't really have those feelings, and yet here we are.
I think it's interesting in the concept of the show to see, maybe it's not necessarily a lesson, but you see the reasonings that sociopaths have for doing things but for making themselves feel okay.
Yeah, how I guess everyone can justify their own actions.
Yeah, and you're like, you did kind of kill someone.
Yeah, at the extremes Accidentally on purpose. Yeah. Accidentally on purpose. And you kind of see, too, the relationship with the dad for JD, too. You see the tiniest little moments of it. And it's
this
more
is in the television show?
In the television show you very much see that potentially dad knew that mum was in the building that he blew up.
Right.
And in the movie, it's more alluded to it than it is in the musical. Dad is just as crazy.
It's not like secretly alluded to it though, because he says like he saw mum waving out of the window.
But JD saw mum.
Oh, JD saw mum. I think, you know what is weird? And I was saying, I think I leaned over to you and said it during the show. Probably. I might have said it to Beck. If you don't know Heathers already before you watch the musical, the whole scene with JD and his dad when that very first scene together is super, super confusing.
Right.
Because in the movie it kind of sets it up a little bit better that they're talking as if they're making fun of each other, role reversal essentially. But in the musical it jumps straight into that talking and role reversal and you're like, wait, what? Oh, that's right. This is weird.
Yeah.
I didn't have a problem with it and I hadn't seen the movie.
I liked it. I guess mostly because I think it really highlights what a bizarre and twisted sort of relationship and family they are.
Yeah.
But that was on lessons learned. I feel like where we're heading with this is that our parents are always, well, perhaps somewhat responsible for how we turn out.
Absolutely.
Might have a little something to
just
do with it.
Just a little something. Mm. Just a teeny tiny something. Mm.
I think Veronica learns that she should have learnt German.
Yes. Yeah. And then she would have known one person would have died and that would be it. Also, wait, don't get distracted by making out and you might pick up a poison. Fine.
It's such a Romeo and Juliet moment for me. I was rewatching the film the other day and just went, that split second to grab the other cup and maybe none of this would have happened.
Yeah. Just look down, look into the mug while you walk away and be like, it's blue.
Yeah. I was also thinking that the other day. I don't think there's any way I would not notice that.
Yeah.
Mugs are an open vessel.
But lucky this is entertainment and not meant to be real life at all.
Maybe.
Like if it was in a keep cup with a lid, I could understand.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I think drink what safely. We learn from the Heathers particularly, I think everyone goes into high school thinking that the popular people have all their shit together, but that is not the case most of the time. And even the dynamic between the three of them, you kind of wonder if they're actually friends or if they just cling together because they do need that.
They're allies. Well, it's all about power structure.
Exactly. Yeah. Even Veronica, she stands up to the bullies. She will speak her mind, but also is a bit of a mess of a human being at times too.
Yeah.
Occasionally. I've forgotten where I was going.
Is a great start.
That's it. That's all I got. The device of keeping dead people around in the story.
Oh, yes.
Clever.
Is freaking gold.
Yeah. Mm.
I enjoy the way it works in this show.
Yeah.
So that's something I learned.
Well, you get to really appreciate Heather Chandler even more as a ghost.
I would have been really, boring if she just died at the beginning and you never saw her again.
Yeah. Mm. And the idea that
Veronica's reacting to Heather Chandler that nobody else can see. So then the conversations that happen after she's laughed inappropriately or she's said something that doesn't really make sense out loud, you know, that yeah. I like those scenes too. The dialogue becomes quite witty.
Can we talk about the use of the 3D glasses as well then in those scenes? I don't know.
Oh, the dream. It was the yeah. dream. Not everyone has pulled this off very well,
you
Helen.
Think? Okay. Because, okay, it was pretty impressive.
It's the one where she falls asleep after,
it was the chorus and you were like, what's happening? Chandler's talking to her in her sleep and she's freaking out.
Is that what was meant to be happening?
The 3D glasses.
Yeah, like I did not get
they're
that.
They're in a dream sequence. Yeah.
Oh, no. Right over my head.
I just thought it was hilarious. Such a perfect choice.
Like, I mean, I've seen it before and clearly must have understood it then, but I did not understand yeah, it the right. last time.
That's good.
It is good.
Yeah. I'd also love to add too that I feel like Heather's proves that subversive humour teaches us the greatest lessons.
Yeah.
Generally.
Just generally. No, that's good point. It's a good point.
It is a good point.
And it's been used constantly throughout history in theatre a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Book like, of Mormon.
I'm just
going to
make
this
point by making it funny, yeah. but seriously, guys.
And then you'll listen. And it will be stuck in your head and you'll realise.
Yeah. You can choose to be a better person.
Yeah, you could be proud of your dead gay son.
Yeah.
Not because it's a funny song, but because why wouldn't you
Why
be?
Wouldn't you? We also just heard, I also just heard for the first time that Curtin Ram's dad's, it's only been 6 years since their little romp. When I first heard it, was like, yeah, they were teenagers. And then Julie was like, 83?
Yeah.
That's not that long ago. I was like, yeah, it's not. It's not that long.
That would have been like the beginning of their school, like halfway through middle school or something.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
Crazy.
Crazy. Things I'm constantly hearing. I've listened to it so many times. Anything else, guys? Or can we cast this show?
I am so looking forward to putting Zach in all these roles.
Oh, I am ready. He's on the list. You know
Woo-hoo!
It. Let's do it.
Do we have friends?
Okay. I'm ready. So we're going to cast Heather's using whoever we like, Helen.
Okay, great.
Whoever we like. But for me, Zac Efron has to be in the cast somewhere.
Okay.
If you've listened to previous episodes, yes. He's managed to make it into almost all of them that are...
Bar the one he was actually in.
Bar the one he was actually in. Hairspray. There's been a couple, but not by choice, Zane. So I would put Zac Efron in the role of Ram. Next
Can
to
he play both of them?
Next to have you seen Colton Haynes? You need to Google Colton Haynes. And so Zac Efron and Colton Haynes would be Ram and Kurt for me.
And see, so they get to spend much of the show in their underwear.
Yes.
Julie will be
actually,
happy.
Actually, yes.
Yes, they do.
Oh, wow. Yes.
So who am I looking at? What's
Colton.
Colton.
Haynes.
Cannot cast.
Oh, I just.
Zac.
Colt.
And Colton Haynes up. In any better roles. This is done. This
Ram
is
and done. Kurt. Loading. Ram and Kurt.
Oh.
When you have a photo, can you please show Helen so she's part of the conversation?
From Arrow.
Yes, from Arrow.
Yes. he came out recently.
He did.
Yes.
In this case, I'm going to put John Barrowman as one of the two dads.
He would be perfect to play Colton's dad.
No.
And they're both from Arrow, so they know each other already.
That's why I said John Barrowman.
Oh my God, it's such a good idea, Julie.
I'm a very good casting
Do you have
agent.
Any suggestions,
well,
Helen?
I was going to say maybe if this Mr. Colton has to be in it, then maybe we need to put a Chris Hemsworth as one of them as well. As a Ram.
As another dad.
No. I'm going younger. They can play teenagers.
He could probably.
He's but a very but buff
like,
teenager.
What about like, you know, like Samwise Gamgee and, you know, Frodo.
Would it be too gross
would
if
be
we
hilarious.
Put Chris and Liam in as Kurt and Ram?
Yes.
That's a great idea.
I mean, I guess they technically weren't a couple.
They weren't a couple. They
so
were just
it would be fine.
A rumored couple.
I've been watching a lot of the assassination of Gianni Versace. So I put Darren Criss as JD. nice. He plays a very good psychopath.
See, I think this is really hard when we already have a movie to go up against.
It's
and
true.
Christian Slater is Christian Slater. Slater is
very I good. Thought for a second when you said Darren Criss, I was thinking of the guy from Savage Garden.
Nope.
Oh, no.
Oh, wait, no. Darren.
Darren Criss, the guy from okay. Glee, a very funny musical.
Darren Hayes from Savage Garden. Different.
Different Darren.
I am just going to keep the ball rolling. I really like talking today. I'm sorry, everyone. But Beanie Feldstein as Martha. She's currently in the movie Booksmart. She's featured a lot on Ben Platt's Instagram. Yes. They're very good friends.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, we can get Ben in to do
we
a
could get
part
Ben
then.
In. He yeah. could play the
someone.
Nerd.
He can play someone.
He might be okay as JD.
He might be.
Nah.
Maybe.
According to Miranda.
Nah.
He no, could be I'm like, if we have Samwise Gamgee as Ram, then Ben could play Kurt. What is that actor's name? God. Why can I not remember?
Why are you looking
Who at played that? Sam? He was just in Stranger Things.
Yes, he's wonderful.
The guy. The guy.
Yeah.
Sam from
Lord of the Rings.
Oh, gross.
Oh, that guy.
Anyway, I would cast Kristen Chenoweth as Miss Fleming.
Okay, I'll take it.
Because I think she can play a crazy arts teacher quite well.
Sean Astin.
What about Sean
right.
Astin.
Thank
yeah.
you. And then we've got...
The woman from the show who was in that thing that played that role.
I really
that
can't
one.
Google that.
That's the one.
Yeah, that she'd be great at that role.
I like her from The West Wing and she did... She played a teacher in Ten Things I Hate
yes,
About You.
Yes, yes. She's incredible.
Oh, she's been good.
Allison Janney. Yeah. How did yeah. I get that?
Yeah.
I'm amazing. So good with names.
Mm-hmm. She would actually be quite good.
I think Zane's going to have a heart
she
attack
would be
over
quite
there
good.
In the corner.
But as Veronica and the Heathers, hear me out.
Okay.
I've got Samantha.
Hear me out.
I've got Samantha Barks as Veronica.
Sure.
She played Eponine in Les Mis.
Oh, yes.
Taylor Lauterman as Heather Chandler. She's currently playing Regina in Mean Girls, so it seems like a fair. Anna Kendrick as Heather Duke, because I'd really like to see her play sing Never Shut Up Again. I think that would be so
and
funny.
And she would look good in green.
And she would look so good in green.
She'd be like
and then like old school, not really old school, she's currently in Nashville, Hayden Panettiere
Ooh.
As Heather
oh,
McNamara.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just because we haven't seen her in something for a little while. But anybody else have any other suggestions?
I'd like to see Rebel Wilson play Heather Chandler.
I think that would be...
You had better be making the world's best joke.
Producer Zane has just thrown his headphones off in disgust. Laid back, arms folded, he's done. He's so mad about you saying that. Do you mean Rebel Wilson or do you mean someone else?
I think I meant like I just wanted to drop a cat among the pigeons.
She's just trying to be controversial. Such a Veronica thing to do.
Yes, because secretly that is my
and
new favourite
role. Did you say
role.
His Chandler? Yeah. I think if you were going for a certain type of comedy, then she would actually
she would
be
have
quite
to be.
Funny in the role.
I mean, if we're also going to age up the cast quite a bit.
Well, to be fair, a lot of the cast are probably in their 30s at, yeah. of the show. Like,
I think that's why they're so good.
Yeah, we also cast Zac Efron.
Zac Efron will always be... 25.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Zac Efron's like 30. Only 30 or 31.
Exactly.
He's not that old.
He is not that old, people.
But Rebel Wilson is.
Will never age.
Knocking on the door of 40.
Anyway. Any others?
Can I suggest.
You can.
That in a time warp, time zone situation, we take the three girls from Destiny's Child and they play the three.
Yes. That is actually brilliant.
I love that.
So obviously Beyoncé is Chandler.
Yeah.
And then no one cares who the other two
play. Oh, we got to Kelly Rowland would have to be Duke.
Yeah.
Or, but yes, because like, let's face it, I don't even know the name of the other one.
Well, there was like the
Beyoncé,
other one,
Kelly
there was one and then it left.
Beyoncé,
she left,
Kelly,
not here,
so. And see?
Oh, no, she always gets forgotten. But I don't think
that one changed. The third one changed after their like second album.
Oh, it's Michelle.
Michelle. It's Michelle. Like the main one that people generally know is Michelle. She's right.
I don't know for sure.
She's got to be. Oh, yeah, that works. I like that. But then who would play Veronica opposite Beyonce?
I don't know.
Solange.
Solange.
What is her name?
As in her sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I mean, Rebel Wilson could play Veronica.
No, I was thinking, no, Zoe Saldana. She would she would have to. Yeah.
She'd be quite good. Now I can only picture her in green, though.
Oh.
Guardians of the Galaxy. Yes.
No. Well, not the, as Elphaba.
Who's the woman who plays her blue sister then? We'll just take her.
Yeah.
Oh, Karen Gillan from Doctor
Who. Oh, I would take her just because I like her.
Interesting. Anyway, we're going to go to our top fives because I'm getting the wrap-up signal. Alrighty. We are going to put this show on top five. .. Go.
My personal top five musicals.
Yeah, it's not my personal top five.
Top five High School Musicals. It's probably number five after High School Musical, High School Musical 2, High School Musical 2.
And Grease.
And Grease. Then Heathers.
I'm going to say top five cult movie to musicals. Really? I mean, there's quite a few on that list.
There is, but it's probably top five.
Yeah.
I'll give it to you. I'll let you have it. Like, I'm the arbiter of all things.
Thank you, Miranda.
Can we go top five singing dead characters?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Totally.
Who else would be on that list?
Well, there's quite
a few. Bobby Strong from Year in Town.
Yeah, like everyone from Les Mis.
Everyone from Les Mis.
Apart from three.
Okay, all right, all right. I'm going to say top five.
All right, all right, all right.
All right, I just turned into Matthew McConaughey. top five dark comedy musicals.
No. Totally.
He could play JD.
No, he couldn't.
If we were also casting like Kate Hudson as Veronica.
Okay.
It's all gone.
Top five teen angst.
Top five teen angst.
Oh, this one and Dear Evan Hansen
and many more chill.
Everything else.
I want to see. I want to say like top five. You know, like design awards. If that's a list.
Yeah, I like it.
Did it win?
I don't think it actually did.
Get nominated for. Oh, that's the thing. They didn't get nominated for many awards. Mm. It got nominated for the Off-Broadway production, got nominated for two Drama Desk Awards, Outstanding Music and Outstanding Actress for Barrett Wilbur-Reed, and Lucille Lortel Awards, I don't know what they are, for also Outstanding Lead, I know it's bad, I'll look it up, Outstanding Lead Actress in a Musical, again to Barrett, and Outstanding Choreographer.
That's a
and then the West End production got nominated for 6 What's on Stage Awards and won 2 of them.
What is on stage?
It is a Theatre Goers Choice Awards. Great. Organized by the website whatsonstage.com. Anyway.
We need to say, KB.
It was a rhetorical question.
I'm going to continue answering your rhetorical question.
Producer Zane suggested it may be, which if I lip read you correctly, top five comedy musicals? Wow, that's a
top
big
five
call.
Comedy musicals.
I would rate that.
That's a very big call, which I also agree
with. I mean, it's my top five of everything. But I don't know if it would be like, there are a lot of comedies out there, Producer Zane.
Mm.
Who can't defend himself.
No. That's the best way to pick a fight.
I want to add to top five best roles for women.
Yes.
Yes.
Like every female role.
Yeah. Because it's, provides a lot. Mm. It's a lot of choice.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of choice.
And I also want to say top five bad guys too. Yeah. I think he's one of the best.
Top five bad guys / romantic. Like, it's not often that you have the bad guy is also the romantic lead.
Yeah, it's true.
Top five. I'm going to say top five rewrites in that I like. That's a personal one. Mm. I prefer You're Welcome over Blue. And I like that.
Yeah.
Heather Duke got a solo.
Yeah.
Any others?
I think I finished.
You think you're finished?
Wow. That was really scary.
That's not just this episode. Like, she thinks she's finished.
Done. This is the end of Miranda. Everyone say goodbye.
Bye, Miranda.
No, don't. Never leave us. Anyway, top five.
Look, I'd put it in my, like top five musicals jam-packed with hits.
Yeah. Oh, bangers.
I love top five bangers.
Top five bangers. What is your favorite song in the show?
I think I'm going to have to say Dead Girl Walking.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Julie?
I love that.
I don't know.
17?
Mine is
my runner-up.
No. Really? I think Candy Store.
Candy Store?
Miranda?
Yeah. Candy Store's my favourite sing-along song, but I love My Dead Gay Sons.
Nice.
Oh, yes.
Oh, damn it.
My favourite is like a slower one. It's Fight For Me.
I like it a lot.
Ew.
I know.
Everyone going,
Go listen to it.
Because we're all like, that's the one we skip.
I like it so much.
Julie's favorite song is Blue. She's really upset.
Actually, no. No, it probably was.
And now it's past gone. Tense. Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on, shall we?
Sure.
Helen.
Ooh.
What are you doing? What are you filling your time with at the moment?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Storm Boy is currently on if you want to go and catch a Dead Puppet Society and Queensland Theatre Company and Melbourne Theatre Company show.
Amazing.
That's a lot of companies.
It's a lot of companies.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, yes, beautiful, beautiful work for those of you who love a good bit of visual theatre.
Yeah, our Dead Puppets are always the greatest thing in the world. So you want to go have a look at that. Awesome. How long is that plane for?
I think we're at the Playhouse for another 2 weeks. Amazing. I want to suggest I should actually check those dates.
That is a-okay. We will link all the info in the show notes.
Just keep turning
but
up
2 weeks from when?
2 weeks from opening night as of last Wednesday.
Who knows?
You may or may not be able to see Storm Boy.
Look, if you want to go see Storm Boy, just rock up to your local theatre and see if it's there.
Yeah.
Anyway. yeah, and if you want to connect with Dead Puppets, we'll link all of that info too, which is amazing.
Also, though, if you do happen to miss Storm Boy because I didn't have the dates, you will be able to see Laserbeak Man at QPAC.
Amazing.
That's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah. So if you want to find an evening in your calendar to just experience nothing but joy and music and remote-controlled drones and puppets, then do not miss this
sounds
one.
Like an absurd and wonderful combination.
It's going to be amazing.
It really is.
Claim to fame. if you don't know about Dead Puppet Society, I would highly recommend you looking them up. They're an excellent company. Helen's amazing. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you
Helen.
So much for having me, everyone. This has been the best time.
The best time.
So very.
Yeah, guys, we're going to all go for Slurpees in a second. It's going
to
be fun.
Literally Slurpees like, downstairs. Yes.
At 7-Eleven, we can sing
this
all
the 7-Eleven right there.
Right there.
Anyway, if you would like to connect with the musicals after this highly entertaining episode, you can do so via the website, that's notcanonproductions.com/MTMEIK, through Facebook at Musicals Taught Me Everything I Know, Twitter and Instagram at Musicals Teach Me, or you can send us an email, which I will happily respond to, at musicalstaughtmepodcast@gmail.com. But what we really, really need you to do, because I want to see Zane do the Necronomicon, you need to jump onto Patreon at patreon.com/musicalstaughtmeeverythingiknow. And, you know, just like, even if you just donate like $2 to us every month, you will go into the numbers at which we need to hit 1,000 for Zane to do this. And I feel like we can get there. You are so supportive of our podcast.
And I want to see Zayn dance
to the Necronomicon. We all do. We all want to see it.
And you guys want to see it.
I've already signed up as a patron of the arts on patreon.com/musical taught me everything I know. I've already been counted.
Amazing. Well, it's about time we probably did the same. Whoops.
I pick a parking every time I'm here.
Become a patron. You get super cool perks that nobody else gets. There's a few top five lists on there that are our own personal. There's some content that we haven't released to the public. It's all very exciting. There's even an episode about cats on there. If you want to hear it, then you know how to do it. But if you cannot donate to us for whatever reason, then jump onto iTunes or Spotify or your favorite podcatcher, rate, review, subscribe, or just keep us on repeat, because then we're just...
Share it with your friends.
Tell your friends how wonderful Heather's is and listen to it together.
You've had to listen to us bang on about it for almost an hour or however long this is.
Or at least an hour and a half now.
Yeah. Put your friends through the same torture.
Exactly. It's going to be great. Thanks for joining us, Helen.
Thank you so much for having me, KB.
I would love to. It's been me, KB, with
Julie Eisenberger
and Miranda Selwood.
We will see you next week. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
What should I listen to now?
We are Castology. This is our podcast about podcasts. We are your castologists, Patrick Shearer,
Liz Best,
and Zainty Weber.
Each week, we'll bring you three of the best and sometimes not so best podcasts around. We'll also do the hard work and trawl the RSS feeds to find the newest podcast that should be on your radar.
And then next week, we come back and tell you what we thought of the recommendations and bring three new sparkling podcasts to check out.
Now, will we always agree with each other's picks?
Probably not. But hey, you're clever. You know that's how reviews work.
We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any podcatcher of your choice.
That's Not Gunner Productions podcast.